This is a Voice It podcast. I'm KLG, and each episode I'll bring to you different stories from business people across the UK on It's Your Business. Everyone has a story to tell. Why not voice it? Voice It Podcast Agency.co.uk. In this series, we deliberately use equipment that you might already have in your business, ensuring that you have the opportunity to make your very own business podcast. More about that on my website. Hello and welcome to this episode of It's Your Business with me, KLG. And in my studio today, I have Debbie Tilley. Now, Debbie is an award strategist and writer. Now, that sounds very grand, Debbie. First of all, welcome.
Hiya, thank you. Thank you, Kath. And thank you for having me.
Now, you help fabulous female founders to win awards and skyrocket their business. So first of all, tell us about your current business then. You're an award strategist and writer. What does that mean to our listeners?
Right. Well, I love helping fabulous female founders and entrepreneurs to enter and win the awards. And that can be through planning a schedule of awards that are open and that are best suited to them. That can be through reviewing an award application that they have written themselves, sometimes often helping to get that over the finishing line as well. Or it can involve an annual writing package of multiple awards where they just want me to take it entirely off their hands.
So why do people want to win awards? How does that help their business?
Well, it can be lots of different reasons, but I'm finding that the big thing is recognition, and that may mean validation. I've spoken to an award winner just recently, and she said it was just fantastic validation that I had a proper business. More than anything, I think up until that point, I didn't really sort of see my business as like a proper business, but all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, it's worthy of prestige and of note and, you know, things like that. But there can be lots and lots of different reasons. I've just come off a call with someone who's been in business for 30 odd years. Okay, so her take on things is completely different. She's getting to an age now where she's thinking about her exit strategy and increasing the value of her business. And yes, she wants to go around saying like, oh, it's an award-winning business because she's been in business for 30-odd years, but never really entered awards in that time. So she wants that prestige. But also she's thinking about increasing the value of her business for when she goes on and sells it.
Wow, I never really thought of it that way. I can understand the validating yourself and the prestige in your business. But yeah, I never thought of it like that. You've got a business and you're looking to exit at some point, to have an award-winning business means a lot more than just a business, I guess. Now, yeah. A lot of people say, oh, awards, and they moan about them and they're just ego-driven. And they're not, are they? I think for me, when I've been nominated, and then you've got to fill in all these forms and you think, oh, jeepers, have I got the time? But actually, and this is where you would come in because you would do it for some people. But for me, it was actually quite good to actually look at where I've actually come and what I've achieved. Because how many times do you look back on what you've done?
Yeah, well, this is definitely one of the key benefits of awards. Like whenever I hold like a masterclass and I talk about the key benefits, you know, recognition, you know, invariably increased visibility, increased sales, you know, exit strategy. I always say very neglected is seen as like a business MOT. It's a fantastic way to kind of take stock of your business, force yourself to kind of like stop doing what you're doing, which as business owners, we very rarely ever do, and look back on what you've actually achieved. And going through and answering those questions, you might be like, wow, actually, I have done a lot. I need to give myself a little pat on the back for that. But also, it highlights any areas where you think, okay, yes, I have been meaning to do X, Y, and Z here, but I haven't quite got that off the ground. Oh, yeah, I definitely need to be doing more of that. Okay, and it gives you that sort of like oomph to kind of start doing some of those things. So, yes, definitely, I would say, very often I say people, even the process of writing the award even if you don't enter, okay, let alone get shortlisted, let alone win the award, just writing the actual award application is useful in itself, because chances are you'll have a much better view of your business, what you're doing really well, what the strengths are, where your USP does lie, and what you need to be doing more of.
I love that, the business MOT, it absolutely is. And it does, it absolutely highlights what you've done in that year, because until you look back, you forget. You're that busy in the busy. You forget how far you've come. And working with you, I guess, even if you were writing it, they have to give you all that information to write it in an award-winning way, I guess. You know, when you're looking at the strategy for it and how to put it together, you still have to reflect on your business, whether you're writing it yourself or someone else is writing it for you, which is fantastic. Now, you've always been sort of writer or around this area of writing, haven't you, in your whole business life? So where did it all start for you?
Well, you say that, but when people ask me about my background, I kind of ask them, how long have you actually got? So many different jobs, so many different careers. That I actually started off my career, did an English Lit and Lang degree at university. And then, of course, I became a chartered accountant, as you do. The natural progression, okay? So I got a job working for Grant Thornton in Manchester, and I got qualified as a chartered accountant. And that was initially how I started my career. And it was only really through being diagnosed with a chronic illness. I might as well share this with you right now because I have written social media posts on it. But I got diagnosed with having MS or multiple sclerosis. And that really forced me, really prompted me to kind of take stock of what I was doing and whether I was doing the right thing. And obviously, English language, literature, everything involving English has always been my passion. So what the hell was I doing being an accountant? I was good at numbers, but I did always feel that this wasn't really quite me. I did it for 7 years, and then I thought, nah. Okay, I need to get out. So I quit my job, didn't really know what I was going to do next. So I, as you always do, you run off to Thailand to kind of, you know, find yourself. It's very kind of pray love kind of moment. And I got into teaching, volunteer teaching, English language out there. So that was to Thai students. It was also to Thai orphans and the odd Burmese monks as well. So it was a really interesting. I think I was out there for about, was it 3 months in total doing that. And then I thought, okay, I need to go back and like get a proper job. And that was when I moved back. And I've always been based up in the northwest. This is where I'm from. But I moved back and I didn't have a job. I didn't have a career. I didn't have a mortgage anymore or any long-term relationships anymore. That's a different story. So I thought, you know, I'll move to London. So I did. So and then I was in London for 10 years and then I got into teaching English down there. I did my PGCE in primary teaching down there and then realized that that wasn't right for me either. So luckily I was kind of like, I was like, nope, this isn't right. That was the end of that. And then it was only through chance that I saw an advert for an unpaid internship with Macmillan Cancer Support. And it was through their Facebook pages, through being a supporter of them, through following them. And that was to do with my parents, because my parents had both had cancer at that stage. And I applied for this internship and I didn't get it, but they offered me a job instead. Awesome. Okay, I'll do that. So it started off being a temporary short-term job as like editorial assistant. And then I gradually worked my way up sort of through editor, content developer. So that was a fantastic role. I loved it there. But then I went and had my daughter and you know how having children changes things just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was when I wanted more flexibility. So I decided to go self-employed because My husband had always been self-employed, and that looks pretty easy. I'll do that. How hard could it be? So, but at the time, I joined a VA franchise, which I thought would be good because I had such a varied background with like the numbers, the English, and da da da. And it wasn't quite me, but it was through that I got my first experience of award entry writing. It was writing award entries, and that was for some of the head office's clients. So it wasn't directly for my own clients, but it was through that network.
Did you realize that, hang on a minute, I'm getting these guys through to the shortlists and then I'm getting some through to the finals and then I'm getting some award winners here that you thought, bingo, I didn't like that job. That wasn't for me. That didn't fit either. This is it.
Well, I became in the network, I became the award entry writer. Just give it all to Debbie. Okay, whatever you got. There's a network, I think there's about like, I don't know, 40 of us all over the country in terms of franchisees. And the head office was in Cheshire. I was based down in Southeast London at the time. Whenever they got an award entry, instead of putting it out to the network or doing it in-house in their own kind of offices, they just gave it to me because I got such good results. So initially I started doing it, gone through to the shortlist, and then there was one of their clients, it was a home care business, and I can't remember how many times they'd gone through to the shortlist and some really good awards like Institute of Directors, Great British Entrepreneur Awards, Greater Manchester Chamber of Commerce Awards, things like that. And then I got quite a few wins for them as well. So I became their go-to. And I mean, then that all kind of came to a little bit of an end when COVID happened. And that completely disrupted the whole award industry because all of a sudden they couldn't have final ceremonies. So a lot of awards got put on the back burner. Everyone was just scrambling about. And I think it was after that time that I decided that the whole VA thing wasn't for me. I was going to go as a straightforward, fairly generic copywriter. But I have always had awards as one of my services. And when I met with clients, they weren't interested in hearing about blogs or emails or website copy or any of those things that every other copywriter in the entire universe does. They just wanted to hear about the awards. So it got to a point where I was like, okay, everyone's telling me niche, niche, you got a niche, you got a niche, you got a niche. So yeah, eventually I was like, fine, okay, I'll do it. And I had no idea if I was going to be successful at doing it or not. I remember going to my very first networking meeting and talking to a guy there, and he was like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, I'm an award writer. And he was like, is that even a thing? I was like, I don't know. Ask me again in 6 months' time, and I'll tell you if it's a thing or not. Because I didn't have any of my own clients at that stage. I was like, that was the very first time I'd actually told anyone, but it turns out it most definitely is a thing.
Well, that's it. It's like a lot of things because in terms of like podcasting for me, people say, oh, Kath, I really want a podcast and I really want one for my business, but I haven't got the time. It's the same kind of thing for you. I really want to enter these awards and I know that I could probably do well, but I haven't got the time. So you're filling that niche and I'm filling that niche. That's what happens. And I think if you really niche down into something specific, I think clients can find you more easily. So many people out there right now that are saying things like, I can do X, Y, Z. And I think, yeah, but what is it you actually do? What are you really good at? Because it's very varied what you're saying you do. And it's like you're just grabbing whatever you can get instead of being confident in the thing that you're good at. I think for you with the award writing, for me with podcasts, it's very specific. And if people haven't got time to do that, yeah, we'll do that for you. And it's like, oh, good, because I want that. So I'll pay for that service. And then I guess that if you've got packages for that, if you've got them to one stage, they want to go the next stage. Or if you've got them to a final, they want to be in the final next year again. And it kind of becomes a bit of a habit, I guess.
Yeah, well, I feel like at this moment in time, I still feel fairly new in business because I think I niched down. I think it was spring 2022, and with the wars, there's such a long delay in terms of, like, you enter the ward, then you have to wait to see if you've made the shortlist, and then if you have, you have to wait for the final, wait for it to reopen again. So I'm definitely not at that stage where I've got lots of people coming back and coming back. I haven't, yeah, I don't feel like I've been in business quite a lot, but yeah, I'll definitely keep an eye on that. But in terms of being shortlisted and leveraging those benefits, I remember I attended training. It was for the Red Rose Awards, the interview stage. And I remember the trainer at that point in time, he said to all the finalists that I got a client to the shortlist, he said that a lazy winner will get less from this whole process than a proactive finalist. And it's true. It's so true. So many people enter awards and they make the shortlist and they hardly shout about it at all. And then they go along and they might win the award and they hardly shout. They expect all these things to come towards them purely because they've entered and they've won that award. And I'm sure some things do, but the finalists that are shouting about it, sticking it on their email signatures, putting it all over social media, attending, even more importantly, and attending the networking events that have been arranged by the organisers, going to the finals and connecting with all the other finalists, chatting to them, building relationships with them, building connections with them, will naturally get much, much, much more from it than those who kind of sit back and wait for everything to come to them.
So you would say definitely leverage, even if you got through to the shortlisting stage, tell everyone, tell everyone, tell everyone. You've got through to the finals, tell everyone. And if you win, you've got to shout about it. You can't assume that the person who've put in the awards on are going to do all that for you. Yes, they'll do some of that, but there's no point winning if you're not going to leverage that for your business, is there?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much opportunity, even in terms of, like, oh, we wrote a blog on it. We don't just write one blog on it, write a whole series of blogs on it that chart your journey. You might be going to interviews, or you might be meeting up with fellow finalists, or, then you've got the final, talk about that, and then your learnings from the whole process, whether you won or you didn't win. I remember being in a masterclass last year, and one of the people in the masterclass said to me, like, I know you're saying that being shortlisted is enough, but no one really remembers who was shortlisted. They only remember the winner. And I was like, okay, let's take that back a moment. Okay, I'm not saying, I think you're paraphrasing a little bit, I'm not saying that being shortlisted is enough. In terms of, like, when I write an award, I help a client to write an award, you're always in it to win it. Okay. That's always the end goal. But there's so many more businesses that get shortlisted than who win the actual trophy. So you need to use that, okay, to your absolute best advantage, blogs, press releases, get in your local media. Use it because everyone wants, like, oh, I want greater visibility. Then go out and use it. It's giving you something that you can write loads about. The content is fantastic in terms of, like, the marketing, whether that's by the organizers themselves or by you. The opportunity is fantastic.
So, is there any tips that you can give anyone listening? I mean, award season's all the time because there's some every other month now, in all different regions across the whole of the UK. They can be at any time. So, if you were giving little tips for people, what would they be?
My number one tip is always give it a try. Okay. So many people are fearful of even trying. And I work with a lot of female entrepreneurs and on their mindset. Give it a try. Okay. You've got nothing to lose in giving it a try. Okay. There's a whole lot that you could potentially gain. And also, don't give up on your first go, because I know some entrepreneurs are like, well, I entered an award once and yeah, I didn't get anywhere. So yeah, awards are not for me. Like that was one award, one time. You have to keep going. As I said, I've known winners who have been shortlisted four times before winning. And I also know ones who've won on their very first go, on their very first entry. It takes resilience and a huge amount of luck as well, because you have no control over who your competition is. And as an award writer, I can help you go with a certain amount, but then if you've got to get through to interviews or presentation stages, there's only so much I can help you. I can advise, okay, but I can't be there and do the interview and the presentation for you. So that's always my number one tip. You know, give it a go and don't give up, because judges love to see resilience. It's time to start showing it. But also, please give yourself enough time. And that includes preparing for the awards. Everybody underestimates the amount of prep that is involved when it comes to entering awards. Okay, whether that's sourcing current year statistics, prior year statistics. Don't forget about the prior year. Okay, you've got to show how much you've improved by, or attaining feedback from your clients, whether that's testimonials or doing surveys or feedback from your staff, depending on what stage of business you're at. Or it could be simply tidying up your digital presence, because judges will look at things like your website. They will look at your social media. So please, you know, if you haven't posted on Twitter since 2021, don't put that on your award application form.
So right at the beginning there, you mentioned a masterclass. Is that a free masterclass that you're offering to people? To get whatever it is you're offering.
Yes, so I offer free masterclasses, and they can be on strategy, or they can also be on writing tip. So on my website, there's a whole page that tells you the upcoming masterclasses that I have, and a link to register to get news of any upcoming masterclasses. But I would say the very, very first place you'd go is connect with me on LinkedIn, because that's where I hang out.
Absolutely. And that's Debbie Tilley, award strategist and writer on LinkedIn. And your website is?
Website is www.debbietilley.co.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for talking to us today. It's been really interesting. And I hope the listeners have got lots of information and tips. And good luck with all those awards.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Kath. And yeah, good luck.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to know more about me or my business, or you want to start your very own podcast, contact me at voiceitpodcastagency.co.uk. I'll see you next time.